sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, May 23rd.
Good morning. It's the weekend.
It's a long weekend.
Long weekend, yeah.
Yes, we're ready.
We are.
I'm ready.
Me too. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the long
weekend.
We need
some rest. We need to catch up on sleep. You probably won't do much of that. You're going for adventures.
I know. Right? Probably not. But yeah. It's going to be nice. I'm excited to get out of town.
Right. Yeah, I know. Really I would like that too. But be prepared for some traffic.
Yeah.
You know? Be prepared for that because everybody's going out of town.
I know. To get to LAX today, I'm going to leave a lot of time.
Yeah.
So I'm not late.
Oh, yeah, that's
that'd
right.
Be the
you're
worst
flying.
If I missed my flight.
Yeah.
That'd be miserable.
That's true, yeah. But you know what? That's better than driving because sometimes it takes an hour just to get out of town.
Well, listening to the radio on the way here, it said prepare. They're already like, everything's jammed. So
really?
Watch out. Yeah.
Wow, yeah, everybody's leaving already.
Yeah. Speaking about air flights, I saw this yesterday on Priceline, which I use Priceline usually.
Really?
To book trips. Uh-huh. There was a mistake fare. So you could get from Toronto to New York and back for $130.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I mean, I saw so many people book this on social media that they're saying, oh my gosh, Bangkok, ending in Bangkok instead of Tokyo, $177.
What?
Prague.
$177?
Yeah.
And those are mistakes?
The mistakes.
Wow.
Go
so they
Prague
have to honor them now?
Well, I Googled and it said that a lot of the time they don't honor mistake flights, but you can fight that because when you've paid for a flight, you've set up dates, you're expecting to go on vacation.
That's true.
You can
kind
of play dumb in that situation. I feel like they kind of have to.
Well, in
to
a
keep
way,
up some kind of reputation, but
right. But I bet you they protect themselves with lawyers,
and
fine print and all that stuff. You know,
but with that sucks for Priceline because. Yeah. It's not really direct with the airline. You're dealing with like a mediator.
Really? Okay. So that's what happens here. So they end up being liable for it.
Yeah.
Not the airline.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's Priceline.
Wow.
But imagine, I saw that and I was like, oh my gosh.
Uh-huh.
And people are booking vacations. It was in a certain time frame. It was like November 20th to December 20th or something like that.
Right.
That these flights were messed up.
Right. But don't you have to, when you want to get a good price, you have to sort of like be open to the date of when to fly?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think so. But the specific dates were where the mistake fares were.
Right.
So, I mean, if you wanted a cheap flight, you flew then.
Right.
No, I saw a lot of people that were buying them.
Right. No, I get that one with the mistake. But what about when there's no mistake? I mean, you just, the thing is you can't fly on a specific day, right? You can't specify that in advance, or can you?
Yeah, you can.
You
use like Priceline, or I mean, there's a bunch of them. There's Expedia.
Well, but Expedia is different.
It's like comparison.
Right.
It's a comparison website, which is kind of what Priceline. They're all kind of comparison to get the cheapest flight for you.
Right, right.
But, I mean, you can put in the day. If you really want to fly that day, you're probably going to have to spend a little bit more money. Depending
that's
on
right.
what... Because, I mean, it's cheaper to fly Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday than it is Friday through Monday.
Oh, okay.
Get
it.
So it all depends when you really want to fly.
Right.
Most people, when they go on vacation, they're not completely set to a date unless it's a long weekend.
Like yeah, exactly.
Friday to Monday, it's pretty much you're going leaving Friday, coming back Monday.
Right. So you were able to get Friday till Monday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And did that cost you less than if you went on Expedia or something?
You know, I didn't even look.
Really?
No. Because I have points with Southwest.
Oh, okay.
So it went right with
you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was
cool.
A pretty good deal.
Yeah.
So.
Do you fly Southwest a lot?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool to earn miles and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have miles with pretty much everyone. Delta, American Airlines, all of them. Because flying from back and forth from England.
That's true.
I've pretty much taken every single airline.
Wow.
But Virgin's my favorite. I'll never forget. I went on a flight from, I think it was this time last year, Seattle to LAX. The plane literally looked like I was in an air capsule, like on Mars. It was purple and there was all these lights. I was like, what is this? Is this an airplane? It was really cool.
Really?
Yeah, really cool.
That's at Southwest?
No, that was Virgin.
Oh, on Virgin. That was Virgin. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. It was a really awesome flight.
Yeah, they do say it's a good airline. So yeah. Maybe I should
try. And you even had your, because I mean, I've been on flights from England to America, vice versa, where I haven't had my own TV. Mm. It kills me. It's the longest 10 hours of my life.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, this flight from Seattle to LAX, I had my own TV. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Nice. But my mom booked the flight, so who knows how expensive it was.
Yeah. I know. It's funny because I never watch the movies on the flight, you know. I always like either read or sleep, you know, because I want the time to go by fast.
Oh, I watch movies.
I know. Many people do, and it seems like fun. I just can't get into it.
You know, I try and sleep, but mostly I can usually sleep for about 4 hours, but then it's still 5 hours to kill.
Right. I know.
So good two movies.
And sometimes it's a half sleep, you know. It's a semi-sleep. But still, it makes the time go by. Because when I fly to Israel, it's like 14 hours straight, you know.
Yeah.
And I can't stand it. Yeah. You know, it's just too long, man. It's
really long.
To sit in a plane, you know.
I know. Such a long flight.
It really is, you know. So sometimes you break it up, you stop off in Europe or something.
Right.
And then you continue, you know. But even then, you know, it's still an 8-hour flight to, or 10 hours to Europe.
Yeah.
Right? How long does it take you? 10 hours?
Ten. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's from New York.
Right. Yeah, that's from New York. New York.
And now being in LA, it's even, because I was in Florida, so it was like a 2-hour, or Atlanta, I'd fly through, or Charlotte. So it was like one, two-hour flight. Mm-hmm. But now it's like an extra 5-6 hours that's added on, then plus layovers. Right. Really odd.
Oh, God. I know. I don't like flying anymore, man. It's just, it's not fun. It used to be fun, but now airports are not fun. You know, airlines are cramped and, you know. So, so I don't enjoy flying that much. You know, to me, it's like the worst part of the trip, you know, where I used to look forward to it.
But I like flying.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. I don't like really coming back. I'm just like, oh, let's just get home.
Yeah.
But one of these days, there'll be something where you step in and then the next minute you'll be in your house.
Right.
So, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, there hasn't been really any development in aviation in a long time. When you think about it, planes still fly as fast as they used to.
True. There was Concorde and then.
Right. And it didn't make it because it was too expensive, you know. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, you would think by now they'd figure something out, you know, because these flights are really slow with some of them.
Yeah.
You know,
it's true.
Yeah. I mean, you know, 500 miles an hour is not that fast when you think about it. You know, a plane could go a lot faster than that, but who knows? You know, I mean, there's different variables in making a plane. What do I know, right?
No, you're right, though. But 500 miles an hour sounds fast to me.
I know, it does, right?
That freaks
me
out a little.
It does, but you'd expect a plane to go a bit faster, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you have jet fighters that can go break the speed of sound, which is double that, you know, that's it's about 1,000 or so miles per hour.
I feel like they're not, that's not safe, though.
No, that wouldn't be safe.
I would rather go 500 miles an hour and get there in one piece.
Listen, if they made you fly that fast, you'd get there in one piece, okay? They'd make sure the plane takes off and
lands. True, that's true.
Yeah, well, I wish I'd been in Hawaii right now. I wouldn't mind that at all. I haven't been in a long time. Have you ever been to Hawaii?
I've been. I went when I was like 10.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. You told me, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I must have been pretty young, too.
I just remember the pineapple. Pineapple was so good.
I know.
Of course, I remembered food.
And macadamia nuts and stuff, you know. Do you like those, macadamia nuts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. They're like all over Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And the drinks, you know, all these tropical drinks and stuff, you know, a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, what was I just was going to bring up something. God damn it, I forgot. Was it related to Hawaii? I don't. Oh, no. It is related to some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw the pictures I posted and were posted for me by a friend who found some pictures from the 80s. I mean, this is like early 80s. I was 21, 22, you know?
Right.
And to see myself, it's like, my God, you know? But I felt good because I thought, you know what?
Thursday?
Yeah. I felt good. I said, you know what? I forgot, but I used to be 21 still. You know? I had my fun, you know.
It's like I was that old at some point.
Yeah, you know, I mean, because now I want to go back to those years, but I can't, you know.
Yeah,
and
that's
what
pitches are for.
Yeah, and I envy the young people and stuff, but I'm saying to myself, shit, you know, I had really good time in my 20s too, you know, so, you know, I've gone through them in one piece. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. Some people don't.
Yeah. So I was invited to an 80s party, which is funny. And then I was trying to figure out what to wear for an 80s party, you know. So the funny thing is when you Google, like, what did people wear in the 80s, you get all women clothes, you know. No women's clothes. Not even men's clothes.
Isn't it like
clothes,
the flared pants and stuff?
It's all kinds of things. I mean, if you think of Madonna, that was like ripped jeans and, you know, all the chains and the necklaces and stuff. But for men, there's never a lot of fashion for men anyway. They always look the same, you know. Mm-hmm. But then I started seeing groups like Duran Duran, you know, with the long hair, except I won't have long hair, obviously. Yeah. And it won't be black either, you know. It won't be jet black like theirs. But I think I got some clothes that I could pass for 80s. Yeah, I got a good jean jacket and
see, they're
probably
back in fashion now.
Yeah.
I love my jean jacket. I wear it all the time.
And it's got some patches with like all kinds of sayings and stuff on it, you know. And then a tucked in t-shirt, I think, you know. I think that's pretty much what they wore.
Sounds like you got it down.
Yeah, it's sort of like baggy pants and I don't know, man. It's so I looked up some things, but there wasn't that much for men.
Not for men.
Yeah. So I'll try to pass, you know, we'll see.
Is it this weekend?
Yeah. And that should be fun, although I don't like theme parties, you know. I don't like dressing up as anything, you know. I mean, Halloween is not my favorite holiday. But I figured, you know what, I'll make the best of it and enjoy it and what the hell.
Yeah, I haven't been to a dress-up party in so long.
Yeah.
I guess you guys call it costume parties.
Costume party, yeah.
We call it fancy dress.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't been to one in a long time. I can't even remember. I don't think I did anything for Halloween.
Yeah.
I don't really like dressing up either.
Yeah, huh?
I'm always like the weird one that like dressed really odd.
I know, you feel strange and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe when you're a teenager it works, you know? But come on, you know, grown people?
Yeah.
I don't see it. But people are saying it's fun, you know? What can I say? All right. Well, we're going to bring in our guest who's sitting here very patiently, I might add, and we appreciate that. Go ahead and get close to the mic. We have Jesse Macht in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Happy to be here.
Sure. And very handsome.
Thank you very much, sir.
And I understand very talented as well.
I understand as well, I think.
Good.
I hope.
Good. Otherwise, you wouldn't be wasting your time, right?
I hope not. No, yeah. No, it's been, it's nice to be here. It's nice to see Notre Dame High School out in the window there.
Yeah.
A lot of talented people came out of that place, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of good baseball players. I grew up playing baseball
in
LA.
It's a beautiful, I went there like 2 days ago to watch the baseball camp. I knew someone that's going to go to Notre Dame next year.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful high school.
Really?
I mean, they have two swimming pools.
Yeah. Really?
I was like, oh my gosh, what? Like, beautiful,
gorgeous
beautiful
high school.
Yeah. To go for, I mean, we didn't have one swimming pool in high school. I swam in high school, college. That's why I'm referring to swim pools.
I went to, I actually grew up in LA, and at Beverly Hills High School, we had the first swim gym, which means that they had a pool and a basketball court that went over the pool. And for a high school, that was like an extraordinary thing to get built.
Oh, my God,
it was the first one in all of Los Angeles. I think there are a few other ones that have. So all the swimmers could do their swimming events, and then you could have a basketball game. came, you know.
Wow.
That's a good idea. So you save space and stuff.
Save space, and it's really fun to have everybody in there and switch the thing really quickly.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I know. So, he's wearing a jean jacket.
I'm ready to go to your 80s costume party right now. Yeah. I'll put my headband on, my Adidas jumpers.
That's right, a headband too, right?
Yeah, headband.
Adidas jumpers, yeah.
Come on, Adidas jumpsuit?
Yeah.
I was looking at old pictures of my dad in the 80s too, and he was already like in his 30s, 40s by then.
Yeah.
But he looked really cool. He had great long hair and he wore all these Adidas jumpsuits. I was like, Dad, where'd all those jumpsuits go? You look great. But they were tight jumpsuits, you
right,
know?
Right.
Not like the mafioso baggy ones.
Right.
Uh-huh. It was like the tight, sweet ones.
Yeah, there was a lot of tight clothes in the 80s, yeah. I think, you know.
We loved the human figure in the 80s.
I guess we did. We always do, yeah. Especially the ladies. So you say that, but you're too young to have lived in the 80s.
Well, I was born in the
80s. You were born in the
80s. I was born there. So I experienced it viscerally, maybe not as conscious as some other people, but
right.
I grew up in the 80s.
That sounds good. So you mentioned you were raised here in L.A.?
I was, yeah. I grew up out here. My whole family is from New York. And
were you born in New York and then moved here?
I was not, actually. I was the only one. I have some siblings. I have three siblings, and my parents grew up in New York. But my dad got a job out here in L.A., and when he got the job out here, he was so excited that he had one more baby.
Wow.
So I was 11 years later. I was the late baby. I was like the California love child.
Oh wow. Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
Yep.
And so
very interesting.
Yeah, I know.
Aren't
I? I guess you are, yeah. It helps to have confidence and stuff and be full of yourself, too, you know.
I didn't mean to come off like that.
No. I'm kidding you. No, but it's cool. I mean, you've got to have confidence. You have to love yourself, you know, if you
especially
want other people
town.
To. Yeah, if you want other people to love you, you know, you can't just, like, be down on yourself and say, no, I'm not going to make it or I'm not good enough, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I read a book, and it's titled, it had a good title. It says, Why Not Me? You know?
Yeah.
Why would it be somebody else? You know, why would it be me to make it? You know?
Right.
And so there you go.
So good. Why not you? Why not me?
So if you're full of yourself, that's fine with me. I'm not saying it in a negative way. So what was it like growing up in the 80s in L.A.? I mean, you've seen it change quite a bit.
You know what? I actually have. They just put out a release on NPR, they said yesterday, that this city has grown 31,000 people in the last year and a half, which feels like a lot.
Yeah.
It's the second most in any city in all of the country. New York, 62,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
Double.
Yeah, New York has doubled the population that we have here. They have about 8 and we have about 4.
Yeah.
Wow.
Million. Yeah.
But
can you imagine? Yeah, I mean, squeezing all these people into this island.
That's why you got to go up.
Yeah.
You got to go up.
That's why everyone walks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also heard there was a sinkhole in front of Katz's Deli in New York City yesterday. I'm giving you all the NPR news that I've heard in the last 24
cool.
hours. A sinkhole right in front of Katz's Deli, which is on Houston, I believe, and Avenue A. I lived in New York for a little bit, too.
Uh-huh.
And it's crazy to think that there's a sinkhole in the middle
right
of
there.
New York City.
Yeah. That's true, yeah. Was
That's
it pretty
dangerous.
Big?
It is dangerous. I don't know. What actually happened. All I heard was sinkhole Katz's Deli.
Right.
That was all I heard. But you know, LA has actually changed even in my, you know, short time on this planet and in this city. It's just a lot more popular, you know. And growing up, it was a quiet little town. I felt like, even as a kid, like I could play in the street, even in the 80s. And now it's like, there's no way you're playing in the street where I grew up in the same way. But I love this town. I love that so many people flock here to say, why not me, and chase their dreams and go after it. It's home. There's a lot of things I love about it. There's also, I love getting out of L.A. as well.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure everybody is this weekend.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's good and bad about everything. But,
yeah. Are you going anywhere this weekend?
You know what? I'm not. I'm gigging. I got a gig tomorrow. That's also one reason I'm here. I'm playing at the Melrose Trading Post, which is that it's like a farmer's market of sorts and a lot of stores and stuff.
Wow.
So they do it out on Ventura and Winnetka.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be playing out there tomorrow from 10 to 12:30. But it goes all day. I think it starts at about 9:30, 9 a.m., and it goes till 4 p.m. Got a bunch of different shops, and there are performances, and there are artists out there, and people are selling little knicks and knacks. It's a cool place. They have one on Ventura and Winnetka, which is the Melrose Trading Post. And then they have another one on at Fairfax High School every Saturday morning. They do it. Actually, I think it might even start earlier, like 6 a.m., at least I know at Fairfax. And you get like all your great like antique clothes. You can get a bunch of 80s clothes there.
Right.
If you need to get dressed for your 80s party, go get some vintage clothes over at the Melrose Trading Post.
I know, that's what someone
Post.
Suggested. You know, I thought, I'm not buying used clothes.
I will see you there tomorrow. You're going to stop by my gig. You're going to buy some clothes.
Yeah. So it's interesting because they call it Melrose, and that's the one in the Valley. And then the one in Fairfax, they don't call Melrose.
I think it's like McDonald's. It's a brand. So they're just saying Melrose Trading Post, whether it's, I think it started at Fairfax.
Yeah,
because
Fairfax High School is on Melrose.
Exactly. You know? So that's where it started. And then, so I think this is the new one. They're just trying to bring it out to the Valley and get it popular because it does so well there. You can really get a lot of great treasures there. A lot of cool jewelry. I got some great luggage there once for super cheap, like cool vintage luggage, you know?
Yeah.
So it's
cool. You're going to be gigging there. So let's tell people what it is that you do. We haven't even really introduced what you do yet.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. What is it that I do? I'm a songwriter, so I write for myself. I've got a new record coming out at the end of this summer. Mm-hmm. So I'm a songwriter and a singer, so I'll be performing tomorrow, and I'm actually performing on Sunday as well out in like Lakeshore, California. But tomorrow here in LA, and yeah, I'm just...
How exciting. So do you perform around town in different venues and stuff?
Perform all over LA for most of the songwriter venues, like the Hotel Cafe on Cahuenga in Hollywood.
Right, yeah. There's a lot of budding artists going there, right?
Yeah.
To release their albums and things like
that. There's another place called Room 5, which is on La Brea in Beverly.
Love Room 5. I saw that on your website. Room 5.
Got a lot of great songwriters that come in and out of there. And you also, there's a lot of budding songwriters there, absolutely. And there's also a lot of greats that come back. There's a guy named Dan Wilson, who I really like. And Dan Wilson was in the band Semisonic. Do you remember that band? Closing Time.
I do, yeah.
Right? So he comes there all the time. he comes there all the time. He just wrote Adele's Someone Like You a few years ago, and he wrote a bunch of Taylor Swift hits. And he's like a hit songwriter.
Yeah.
And he comes to Room 5 all the time. So there are guys like him also, like great songwriters that come in. So usually any day you stop at Room 5 or Hotel Cafe or Wits End in Venice, you can see some really, really great songwriting. Yeah. Different than like the Viper Room vibe or the Roxy or any of the rock clubs, which are cool too, but it's a different thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little more like the old school folk sort of Bob Dylan-y and all that.
That's cool. So is that your genre pretty much as far as music?
More of a singer-songwriter sort of stuff, stories and it's listening music, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I talk about like what's active music and what's passive music. I don't know. I'm like still defining what that is. I don't know. But to me, like active music is when you kind of forced, you want to sit down in your car, like put a candle on in bed or in a bathtub and like really listen and relax and sort of go through someone's story. Whereas passive music might be something like you rock in the car, you roll the windows down, you're driving
they
out.
They scream.
Yeah. One's
I
not
see.
Better than the other, just different kind
it's
of vibe.
It's a different genre. Yeah.
So you're active. Yeah.
I think so in that way. I like to bring people along with the story, and my shows are sort of conversational. I like, people raising their hands and asking questions and heckling me.
Wow, that's cool.
Talking,
cool. So when did you get started with this? I mean, you've obviously been into music all your life. Usually that's the case.
Yeah.
But when did you decide you're going to do something professional?
That's a good question. I grew up in a family of entertainers. My father's an actor and my brother's an actor. So I was always sort of around like that kind of world. And I always played music. And I just liked the idea of music because, with acting, you're always waiting on somebody else to give you an opportunity unless you can produce something yourself. So I just loved like that I could sit in my living room and play my guitar right away, sing like right away and something really visceral. So I've been playing since I was in high school and since I was a kid before that. But as a songwriter, I've been doing it for the last 3 years. I put out my first record about a year and a half ago, and that was like can I do this? Can I make a record? And I like put my flag in the sand and made a record, and I'm really proud of it and love it. But this new one that's coming out this summer is it's something really special to me. It was a whole other new chapter. Yeah.
So is it different kind of music?
It's got a little bit of a different vibe, and it's a little bit of a fuller thing. When I used to play music, is I played in a band for a long time, and I played with different people. And when I would play after a show, my heart would beat like really fast.
Really, like and adrenaline and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And but it was like really fast, and I would get lightheaded, you know, and feel weird.
Oh, wow.
And I would feel my pulse and everything would be fine, I thought. But when we run, like what's normal beats per minute, I think when you're like full running is like 160, 180, right? When you put your hands on the thing. Uh-huh. But then I went and found out, I wore like a heart monitor for a show once, and the doctor called me. He's like, so your heart beats 260 beats per minute.
Wow.
Oh my God.
And he's like, so you need to go to the hospital right now.
Wow.
So that was a year and a half ago, and I went to the hospital, and I had to have like this little operation I had an extra electric shock in my heart that would turn off the main one, and would go, I'd have an extra one. Like we all have one.
Yeah.
Some people have an extra one. So I had an extra one that would turn on when my adrenaline would pump, like for a show.
Right.
So I'd start beating like this, and the other one would short out. So instead of going boof, 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 the other one would go boof, 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 boof.
Wow.
So they had to short that out so that the normal one could work.
Right.
So I had that, and that was like a physical, like heart thing that happened.
Yeah.
And then I had a girlfriend who I was in love with, and we broke up, and that was sad, and that, you know, hurt too.
Right.
And that all of that sort of inspired me to write this record about, all right, where do I stand as a man, right, in my mortality and my existential questions and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, where do I stand in love, and how do I feel about that?
Right.
And writing this past year really dealt with those two things. So this record is called Suitcase Heart. Excuse me. Suitcase Heart. Which sort of asked that question, like, what do we bring with us in our hearts and our baggage, and how do we move forward?
So. That's true. So the lyrics are very important in your music.
Yeah.
I know.
When you sit down and write, like, how long does it take you to write a song like that?
Yeah. You know, it really depends on the situation, but I think sometimes some songs come out in like an hour, just real fast, because you're really feeling it. And, you know, if you have the education and the background of knowing what music stuff happens, that sort of happens easily, and I can just choose from that. But sometimes songs take days, you know. You'll write a piece of it one day, and then you'll revisit it another day. I mean, you always edit, but some songs come out pretty quickly. The songs that we're going to play today actually came out really quickly, and I think it came out, I mean, I've worked on them a lot, but just as the actual writing came out fairly quickly, because I think I just really had something to say, and there was some muse out there that I grabbed onto, and it just flew through me. So
awesome. Great.
Yeah.
So let's play a couple of your songs. The first one is Broken Faith, right?
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about what we can expect.
Yeah, I recorded this in Nashville. I don't know. Do you guys know Zach Brown, the Zach Brown Band? Have you ever heard
of
them? Yeah.
Love them.
Right? They're great. Cool. Yeah.
I love country music.
Oh, cool.
Really?
Well, then maybe you'll dig this. You'll hear a little of that. I had the opportunity to go to Nashville. I go write for artists out there, too. I'm a songwriter for myself, but I also write for other people.
Oh, wow.
And so I went to Nashville to write, and I met this producer, and he's like, hey, let's go to this studio and record this record. I really like your song, Broken Faith. I thought, cool. And I show up at the studio the next day, and I'm like, Southern Ground, this is cool. And I walk in, and it's the most immaculate, beautiful studio I'd ever been in my whole life.
Wow.
I was like, wait a second, why am I here? And the producer comes out of like some doorway, he's like, hey, welcome. I was like, what studio is this? Like, why are we in here? This is awesome. He goes, yeah, this is Zach Brown's studio. It's his personal studio.
Wow.
And like these players came out, these great players to back me, and I was just in awe. I was just so excited. I was like, I'm Zach Brown. I used his guitar on this song. So he has a beautiful studio. So that's sort of like the background of the recording of this song. But the song sort of talks about what I was talking about.
Okay, awesome. Wow. So let's go ahead and listen. Jesse Macht, and the song is Broken Faith.
Thanks.
From these ropes, clear of these chains, been tired of brick and mortar, tired of pulling all of you away. You lifted the spell, as far as I can tell, and looking for forgiveness, it's no longer my business to say. guess it's true you led me astray. You still got away with your mistakes. Yeah, you're finally broke my faith. You finally broke my faith. The sting of my vein, coursing with pain. I knew you'd need a man in the city that you planned your escape. It was only a week ago you slept in my bed and all your promises overflowed. I could tell on the telephone.
Faded away, so we can, so we don't take up too much time.
Thank you. Wow.
An amazing voice, amazing song.
Oh, thank
you know, I think it's like, it's not country, but it's sort of like country rock. It's like the Eagles, you know.
Right, right.
That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You've got a great voice. You're hitting the high notes, and it's cool.
Oh,
you know.
Thank you.
So, did you ever have to go and take singing lessons, or
you know,
voice?
I always did. I always sang in choirs, and I would take lessons in college. I think my first, I sang in this choir when I was a kid, and we would practice every week, and one day the choir got asked to be in this movie called Face Off.
Mm-hmm.
It was with Nick Cage and John Travolta. Do you remember
right,
that movie?
Yeah, when they switched their faces.
Yeah, when they switched their faces. And we were like, we were going to be in the beginning, we were going to sing Hallelujah, and it was going to be like this whole thing. We all got really excited that we were going to be in this movie, and we show up to set, and we've practiced this song, and we've practiced and practiced, and they say action, and they start playing a track in the background, and we're all singing to this track, and we're like, what's going on? Like, why is the track playing? We're supposed to be singing it. And then after the take one, our music director got so upset because they're like, why are you playing this track? Like, oh, well, you guys are just going to lip sync the song.
Whoa.
So we didn't know. We had learned like this whole song, and then all they were going to do is like use a track anyway. Like, oh gosh. But anyway, yeah. Whoa. So I've always been singing. I sang since then, and yeah, you know.
So, but you took like lessons. I mean, did you have to like learn how to develop your voice and stuff?
Yeah, definitely.
Singing voice.
Yeah, I took I took lessons throughout in choir. You would always practice, and I took private lessons with a friend of mine's father, who's a great composer and stuff. And then when I went to college, I was able to take some voice lessons, which turned into like credits for my degree and stuff. And I thought, this is hilarious.
Nice.
I can just like go sing for an hour and get through credits.
I'll
but
take it.
Yeah.
Speaking of TV shows, you said Face Off. It says here that your music's been placed in TV shows such as The Voice, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Juliana and Bill. and commercials.
Yeah, yeah. Music has been all over, sort of, a bunch of different shows, and I've got my fingers crossed for some stuff coming up this summer, which I can't say yet, but stuff on all sorts of channels. It was really nice, and The Voice used my stuff. I think it's usually like when they've used it a few times, and usually when like people are auditioning and stuff, yeah. There's a song I wrote called Your Hero, which is on iTunes, and yeah, I think it's about when people are struggling, you know, to get that audition. Right. They're trying to get there. So,
yeah. Now, how do you get these songs into those people's hands?
Oh, my God. You tell me.
Yeah.
I got it into your hands. How did I get it into your hands?
Well, that's very good. Yeah. You know,
but no, you know, hopefully people hear. Some
but
of
we're the, not the voice, you know.
well, you are a voice. Every voice matters. You know, I hand it around and by fate's grace and luck's grace, I, you know, people like certain things and they say, hey, can I use your song for this? But I always need more people who are listening to my music and pass it on to their friends. And you'd be surprised with how many people you know and you have a network.
For
and you're
sure.
Like, oh, my mom works on this, or my, you know, sister and my brother work on this show. They would love that song. They should use it. So,
wow,
yeah, that's
cool.
Why I like being on this microphone. Maybe somebody else will hear a song and pass it on.
And you got to know the people. You got to meet people and
that's
stuff.
Got to be out there. In the world.
Yeah, definitely. So you said you grew up in Beverly Hills, out of all places, right?
I know, right?
You said?
Yes, terrible place to grow up.
So you went to Beverly Hills High School,
too?
I did,
yeah.
So you saw some of the celebrity kids and all that.
There was a little bit of that. You know, obviously, it is Beverly Hills, and it's a nice place to grow up, but it is the only public school. So there are a lot of private schools that go on, and usually a lot of the celebrity children go to the private school. But yeah, there's definitely a world there, and I loved going there. It was a great high school. It was huge. It was like this Notre Dame that we're looking at. It was a really big high school.
Really?
My class was 500 people. So
wow.
2,000 people generally in the school. It's a big campus.
Wow, very cool. Yeah. So now, did you have a generally good life growing up? Do you feel you had a good life?
I'm very grateful. I had
really your family's together.
Everyone's good.
Together.
Yeah, I'm
awesome.
I'm very grateful, and I feel I'm really lucky that I had that upbringing. And you know, there's good and bad about being wherever you're from. I mean, hometown's a hometown, and that's my small town. I can't if I go visit my parents or something, want to go get a sandwich around the corner. It's like you can't help but run into that person in high school who like you can't stand seeing. You know, it doesn't matter if you're from every town, Illinois or Beverly Hills, California, you're still going to run into the like your high school nemesis.
You don't want to see.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, I'm very grateful. I had a really lucky upbringing. And my friends are great.
And your siblings, you said, are older. What do you have? Sisters, brothers? Both?
I have one sister and I have two brothers. And I was. People joke and say I was the rollover baby because it happened like 11 years later. My youngest older brother is 11 years older than I am. Same parents, and they're still together.
I have that too with my brother. He's 12 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those
Isn't
are
that
usually,
nice?
Yeah, those are usually the accidents. No?
Exactly. It is. I was the celebration, I think. That's how it was called. Did you put ropes on your little brother's hands and play him like a puppet? Because
that's what happened to me. Really?
They would tie ropes around my hands because they were all like teenagers and like I'm the little baby around. They would just play with me in my arms.
Whoa,
and,
yeah, cool.
And I would just be a baby like looking all silly in front.
I know everybody's making everybody's playing around.
I was like the living stuffed animal for everybody. I was just thrown around, played around with.
Awesome. So you were spoiled in a way probably, right?
Spoiled?
Yeah. Rotten.
My brothers and sister would probably say that, but my mom was very protective. I couldn't walk around the block by myself until I was like 14 years old.
Really? Huh?
13 years old. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was very protected. I was they were very worried, and that's why when I got out, I was like, out. I got my driver's license. I'm like, I'm going downtown. I'm going going everywhere I can go. Got to get out of this protected little.
Yeah. Place. So you moved out rather early in your life.
Well, I went to college when I was 18. I went to St. Louis, and I was in a band there. And toured the country a lot in the Midwest, and I think hopefully gained a greater appreciation for the world and for the country. And I just love traveling. I love going around, especially this country. You can learn a lot.
Yeah, there's so much to see. Yeah. Definitely.
And then I lived in New York for a while, and eventually came back here for music and for business and stuff.
Yeah, and what did you do in New York when you went back?
Yeah, I played in a band. I was in this band for a long time. We were called Burn Down the Mission. And I played in this band. We were doing really well. And I just wanted to live in New York because my whole family had been from there. And I just wanted to get that experience. There's a lot of cool music out in Brooklyn. And
yeah.
Really?
I thought it was a cool place to be. Yeah.
Awesome.
Have you ever lived in New York?
No, I visited several times, but I don't think I could live there. I love going there to visit.
Yeah.
But you have to, I don't know, it's a certain kind of life. It's so different from how we live here.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and I'm used to this laid back life, you know? I don't know that
driving
I can
driving a
handle.
Car.
Right. Yeah.
Is it more like living in England at all or no?
No.
No, it's not.
Oh, here or New York?
New York.
No.
No.
No,
like,
but I also
more city. No?
Didn't grow up really in a that big of a city.
Right. She was in a smaller town.
So, yeah, I was in a smaller town.
Small town girl.
Yeah, so definitely.
The big city.
Love LA.
Yeah. But you ended up back here too, which is a good thing.
I
You're
did,
close
yeah.
to the family and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So let's play another song. You brought us another song. It's called Suitcase Heart.
Yeah.
And
that's really more directly what I was talking about earlier. Just
right.
This idea of what I've gone through in the last year. And it talks about, like, what are the things that we want? What are our expectations for life, for our own life? Like, what can we reach? And then what do we really get? And is that okay? And how do you move forward with that? Are you positive
about it?
That's
awesome. So you really express yourself in your songs.
Yeah.
It's not just the music.
Yeah.
But you think up ideas and stories and things like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, I try to. I hope so. I hope that comes through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's hear Jesse Mark, Suitcase Heart.
Thank you.
Those of you just joining us, we're listening to Jesse Macht, and the website is jessemachtmusic.com. Now, so you have information on your upcoming gig tomorrow, and that's Melrose Trading Post. Winnetka and Ventura. You guys wrote Winnetka and Ventura Sherman Oaks, but it's not. It's Woodland Hills.
Yeah, right? Probably, yeah.
Okay, so you're going to have to change that.
Okay, sorry. Aren't they right next to each other, Sherman Oaks and Woodland Hills?
Not really. Not even close. We're here in Sherman Oaks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's Winnetka's about... Winnetka's a little deeper?
Yeah,
it's all right, about, I'll make sure they change it.
Yeah, it's like 10 miles, 15 miles.
Oh, okay. That's a little bit farther out there.
When you listen to your songs like that...
do I feel incredibly uncomfortable? No.
No, I was going to ask, do you get sad? Because it's about... a sad topic, like something hard you went through.
Yeah, some of it for sure. That song has a sort of melancholy idea of like what hard things happen and how you move forward. Yeah, you know, it's like it's an emotional experience. So mm-hmm. some of it is definitely not, you know, necessarily morning talk radio, like excited stuff. But
it's like, fun, you know? I mean, yeah. I really like listening to it.
Oh, thank you.
Because even though it's a sad story, it's still upbeat music, you know?
Yeah.
And I like it. Like, the second one sort of reminded me of, like, America, the group America, mm-hmm. because the harmonies and, you know, and the guitar and all that stuff. So
you and I seem like we listened to all that same back when you said the Eagles and America. Like, it's all the stuff that, you know, my brothers and I would listen to when we were kids. And,
and it's amazing to see the influence, you know? Because it's like you feel that it's like you probably don't even set out to have that kind of sound, but it just comes out that way, you know, because those mm-hmm. are your influences.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you like, you know. That's what, you know, the style.
I wrote that song, Suitcase Heart, actually, with another songwriter. His name is Tyler Lyle, and he's tremendously talented, and he's written some songs for some great artists on American Idol and all this stuff. And as a songwriter, I work with a bunch of different songwriters in Los Angeles and New York and Nashville, and you get to meet all these up-and-coming songwriters. And this record has four songs that I did with some other people, and this one was one of them. And Tyler had actually come in with the idea for Suitcase Heart, and we talked about it for a while, like, what does that mean? And unfortunately, we didn't have much time. We were together for like 45 minutes, an hour, and we wrote the first verse and the pre-chorus and the chorus, and then I went and finished the song by myself. But it was really interesting to talk about that and share that sad or melancholy idea with somebody else in a creative way mm-hmm. and express that together. So, yeah.
Wow. Right. Very cool. Very cool. Nice. Well, Jesse, so go ahead and promote everything you have to promote.
Okay.
Do you have Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff?
I do. My name is Jesse Macht. So if you're listening, my last name, it's hard to spell sometimes for people, but it's M-A-C-H-T, Jesse Macht. So everything, it's Facebook, Jesse Macht Music.
Right.
Twitter, just, Jesse Macht Music, all
just
that
go
stuff.
Go to Google. You don't have to give out
exactly.
all
exactly. You're right.
You know?
It's all that stuff.
Yeah, and, because it occurred to me, we're giving them all out. Nobody writes them down. You know?
Nobody writes them down.
Yeah, but Google they remember your name, so just Google it.
Yeah, you know if you look me up, you'll find me. And I'm playing tomorrow. I've got my new record coming out at the end of the summer, so I'm really excited about that. And people will be hearing that, especially around LA. And I'm doing this home concert tour this summer, which is really cool, where I'm going to people's private houses. They've asked me to come and do an at-home concert, and that could be like 10 people, or it could be 150 people in their home.
Wow.
And it's really cool. It's really an intimate experience, a different way to do it. And, you know, sometimes people don't like going to venues and like having to sit there and give their money away to the club. And and sometimes it's like just nice to bring the artist right home and have your friends and sit on your own couch, mm-hmm. but still get a really professional experience and have some great songwriters come. So I'm taking all these requests from all people across the country, and I'm just like, oh, cool. I'm going to Oklahoma City, and I'm going to St. Louis, and I'm going to New York. It's
cool.
Like,
so you get to travel a little bit as well.
I do get to travel.
So you're living the dream, man. Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of musicians would like to get to where you are, and I think you're taking the right path.
Thanks.
You know, to greatness and stuff. And yeah, he's like, yeah, right.
Well, you know, I just, as long as I can wake up and sing my songs, I mean, I'm so grateful that you guys have asked me to come in today and meet you guys and play my music. I mean, this is what it's all about for me, and just very generous spirits to do that. So thank you for having me. It's really nice to
awesome, cool.
do that.
Do you want to give a shout out to anybody? Or
sure. Give a shout out to my family if they're listening, right? Give it to all them and my friends. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, Jesse Macht, thank you so much for joining
us.
Yeah,
thanks for having me.
You're a lot of fun, very talented. We really, I'm glad we invited you over.
Thank you so much.
And so everybody go out and get the music. So I would imagine your music is available on your website.
And iTunes and my website, yeah.
iTunes and stuff like that. Right. Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, iTunes is like the ultimate place to be, right? I mean, there's millions and millions of people going there.
Well, there's no more Tower Records, so whatever you
Yeah, exactly.
Do,
right.
You got to go get it online.
I mean, anything you put up there is going to get thousands of listeners, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, do a tape of your fart or something. People will download it. 50,000 times, you know. People listen to anything. But at any rate, go listen to Jesse Mock, great music.
Skip the fart tracks. Just Skip go right to track. The Jesse Mock
There
music.
You go. I didn't have to soil your interview, but I did.
That's okay. I can play along.
All right, Charlotte. Well, that's it for this week.
Yeah, we'll see you on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Wait, where are you going?
Right.
San Francisco.
Oh, fun. What are you going to do in San Francisco?
I'm excited. My boyfriend's family lives up there.
Sweet.
So.
Yeah,
nice
and she'll get to
weekend.
See all the tourist places probably,
yes,
right? Go to Alcatraz
definitely.
If you can.
I really want to.
Yeah.
Really, really bad.
It's kind of scary, but you should. You know,
I would love
history,
to.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.